Good evening, church. So good we can be together tonight and open up God's Word one more time before this day is over. Just as it is an encouragement and a blessing that we can sing songs of praise to the true and living God, He is worthy. I hope that you brought your Bible with you tonight. I invite you to turn with me to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, and be finding Jeremiah and the 28th chapter. Jeremiah and the 28th chapter. Tonight I'm wanting to discuss a true story from the life of the prophet Jeremiah, and I'm calling the lesson Jeremiah and the Dreamers. Now, I like a good title. You know, if I'm going to preach something, I want it to be something that I might be interested in. And I got some feedback on this one. Had a couple people ask me, isn't this a 60s doo-wop group, Jeremiah and the Dreamers? I said, well, not to my knowledge, but, it should be. That is a great name for a doo-wop group. I wasn't thinking about that at all. When I'm looking at the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, and particularly chapter 28, I am using that term dreamer to speak to those people in Jeremiah's day who were claiming to receive messages from God and prophecies from God through dreams. Just as Ethan did a great job with his scripturing from Jeremiah 23, you heard and you read, this was a huge, huge issue. The idols like Baal, they had their prophets, they had their dreamers. All of the pagans' gods did, these fellows who claimed to be receiving visions and dreams from Baal. But you know, even Jehovah was using prophets in that day. There were people claiming to be prophets and dreamers of the true and living God who were telling lies. Raises an interesting scenario. What do you do when you have two prophets, both speaking for Yahweh, both calling the other a liar, and they flatly contradict each other? Now, it could be that they are both wrong, but they cannot both be right. Someone is a false prophet. How would people decide who to believe? How would you decide who to follow? And I'm talking about this story tonight in Jeremiah 28 because I believe there's a powerful equipping lesson for all of us. That when it comes to our beliefs and our convictions, our religion, who do we really follow and why do we follow them? Now on our way, as we begin reading Jeremiah 28, I want to set the scene a little bit. I hope you'll indulge me. I don't want to just run into it cold. What we're looking at in Jeremiah 28 is Jerusalem. It's Jerusalem. In fact, we're looking at the temple where there's an audience between a couple of prophets and priests and a lot of people. It's Jerusalem, and it's not been good days. In fact, it hasn't been good days for a while. At this point, the city had been captured once already by the Babylonian ruler, Nebuchadnezzar. The rightful king, Jeconiah, he's been hauled off to Babylon as a prisoner. And his uncle, Zedekiah, has been placed on the throne. He's a puppet king. He's a vassal king to this emperor, Nebuchadnezzar. The Jews have been given over to every kind of idolatry for generations. And while this prophet Jeremiah had spent many of his early years urging repentance and to return to God Almighty, the message from God has changed recently. Judgment is coming from God. Now, God is going to bring a restoration after 70 years of captivity in the hands of the Babylonians, but judgment will come. It will be bad. In fact, Jeremiah 27 tells us that the prophet Jeremiah has been spending quite a bit of time traveling around Jerusalem, Judah, other places. And he is wearing a yoke of an oxen. Jeremiah 27 verse 2 says, thus says the Lord to me, make for yourselves bond and yokes and put them on your neck. God told him to build this thing and wear it. He told Jeremiah, you make some more of these yokes and send them to cities and peoples all over the region with the prophecy, with the message that God has given all the lands, all the peoples, all the animals into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. Because this is God's will. And with that, Jeremiah had been prophesying and preaching that what the Jews should do, what all the people should do is surrender. Go along with Nebuchadnezzar. This is God's will. It's going to happen. It's going to happen for 70 years. So go along with it and don't make things worse on yourselves by resisting Nebuchadnezzar or fighting against him. Not only this, but Jeremiah warns that there's going to be dreamers and prophets who will be telling people differently. There's going to be dreamers and prophets who are going to be telling people, fight the Babylonians. Fight the Babylonians. Maybe it won't be so bad. But Jeremiah is preaching, trust God on this. Serve Nebuchadnezzar. It will be better for you. Well, put yourself in those sandals there for a minute. That's what we need to do. Do you think people liked hearing this message from Jeremiah? Do you think they liked hearing their prophet say, surrender, give in, be enslaved, God's mad, God is bringing terrible judgment on you, don't trust anyone who says differently? You think that message went over very well? Or place yourself in Jeremiah's shoes. Do you think he liked walking around Jerusalem wearing a big old wooden ox yoke? But look what happened. That's why we get to Jeremiah 28. A prophet by the name of Hananiah meets Jeremiah at the temple and speaks up. Jeremiah 28. Are you there yet? Jeremiah 28. And it happened in the same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me, this is Jeremiah's perspective here, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. And I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the prophet of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people who stood in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform your words which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all who were carried away captive from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless, hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who have been before me and before you of old prophesied against many countries and great kingdoms of war and disaster and pestilence. As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of the people, saying, thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Now, if you were in that room, and in that courtyard, and you saw these two prophets. Here is Hananiah. He has publicly differed with Jeremiah about everything, nearly. Who's a true prophet? Who's a dreamer? How do you know? Let's talk about it. Number one in your notes, as we talk about Jeremiah and the dreamers, we want to ask the question, who is the true prophet? And I'm thinking right now as we begin about Hananiah and about Jeremiah, don't cheat and say, well, the name of the book is Jeremiah. That's cheating a little bit. Put yourself in that place. Here's these two prophets, man. They're going head to head. What do we think? Is Hananiah a true prophet or a false prophet? Is Jeremiah a true prophet or a false prophet? And take a look at Hananiah with me as we have read these first 11 verses. Look at the characteristics of this man who is speaking. Does he sound like a true prophet? Look, he comes from a good family of prophets, according to verse 1. His daddy's a prophet. We know his family. Here he is doing public preaching in the temple, no less. He speaks quite boldly in the name of the Lord. In fact, as he speaks, God speaks in the first person. I will do this. I will do this. He makes specific predictions. He predicts here about the return of the deposed king and the return of the captives and all of this. He is recognized by an accepted prophet. Did you catch the first thing out of Jeremiah's mouth when he heard all that? Jeremiah said, amen, so be it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God did everything you just said? And then he used this visual aid. He took a yoke right off of Jeremiah's neck and broke it in front of everybody. Doesn't get much more prophetic than that, right? This guy really looks like a prophet. My point is, it's not always easy to tell who the true prophet is and who is just a dreamer. Jeremiah doesn't doubt for a moment that God is speaking to him and that he is a true prophet. I'd like you to appreciate with me what Jeremiah says publicly at this time. First he says, and you see his humility of heart, that Jeremiah would be happy to see good days for his people. That's verse 6. He is very humble. He allows that perhaps God has spoken to Hananiah at this point. And yet even so, Jeremiah is very cautious. And he says these two things. Number one, he's saying, where's the consistency in your message? Prophet, when you go back and look at the prophets who have been speaking before me and before you, in verse 8, the prophets of old, what had they been decrying? War, disaster, pestilence, not peace. You think you're saying something so different from me? You're going against all the prophets. Where's the consistency? And then in verse 9, he gives a second test. A fulfillment test, if you will. I guess we're going to know in 2 years. As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. Well, if this happens, then we're going to know you are a true prophet. We're going to talk more about these tests in a moment. This idea that God's message and so his messengers are consistent. As well as that when they speak the word of God always comes to pass. That is a sign. It is the word of God. God speaks truth. How are we going to know who the true prophet is? And maybe you think, well, if I was actually in that room and in those sandals, maybe I wouldn't worry about it all that much. Maybe it's not a big deal. I mean, does it matter if I pick the wrong prophet to trust? If Hananiah is wrong, then, you know, that'll be embarrassing. But it's just a false prediction. Is a false prediction the worst thing that a false prophet does? Is get some stuff wrong? No. No, the worst thing that a false prophet does is that he deceives hearts. And he causes God's people to believe and to trust in lies. That's the worst thing that a dreamer does. That's the worst thing, a deception of heart. When they are speaking, as Hananiah speaks, and if it is not so, they bear false witness against God to claim he's sending them dreams, if he isn't. Or to claim he's speaking to them when he isn't. They make people believe lies. If the words attributed to God by the dreamers are not God's, then they have come from somewhere else. They have come from the wickedness from a man's heart. They have come from the deceit of the devil. But they have come from evil. And when people trust lies, it leads them to sin and to destruction. It matters. It really matters who we listen to and who we follow. And that leads me to the second consideration. Number two tonight, kind of pairing off the first question, if you try to figure out who the true prophet is, well then, who would you have followed? Who would you have followed? We won't do the show of hands because again, I think you're going to cheat. I think you're going to say the name of the book is Jeremiah. But if you were standing there, I think you would realize it's going to be challenging. And there might even be some reasons you'd want to follow Hananiah. After all, Hananiah is preaching about national victory. Well, that sounds good. And Hananiah says there's going to be restoration of our king. Jeconiah's coming home and this Zedekiah guy, he can go back to wherever he came from. And restoration of our temple artifacts. Won't God be happy when we have all of our vessels back in the temple? Won't you priests be happy when you can worship with all the tools that you're supposed to be worshiping with? It'll just be wonderful. And it's not only that they're bringing back the furniture and bringing back the king, but he says they're going to bring back all the captives. Those little boys that got kidnapped, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, in that first campaign, they're all coming home. Wouldn't it be great to have Daniel and the boys back home? Bet there's some parents that would love to hear that. He's preaching triumph over the enemy by God's deliverance. He says, God will save us. He says, God's going to do it. This is not even a battle cry because Hananiah doesn't say mount up an army and charge and we're going to go get him. But he does say God is going to make it all better soon. He's preaching peace and ease and prosperity. And he sure looks like a prophet. Sounds pretty good. Tell you about the other side of the coin. Why would people despise Jeremiah? Hananiah seems to have got a lot going for him, but some people are despising Jeremiah. Why would that be? Well, basically, he says the opposite of all those things. And he's been saying it for a long time. This is all God's judgment, God's doing. In fact, it'll get worse before it gets better. Just go along. You're about to enter a 70-year period of captivity. And yet, who's the true prophet? Well, I've kept you in suspense long enough. Let's look at verse 12 together. Jeremiah 28 and verse 12. Because where we left it, Hananiah broke the yoke. They go their separate ways. And Jeremiah had said, it'd be great if what you're saying is true, but a couple of tests caused me to wonder. Look at verse 12. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their place yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah, the prophet, died the same year in the seventh month. Now, we started that year in the fifth month. He died the same year in the seventh month. Jeremiah confronts Hananiah. And what does Jeremiah do? Well, he makes a prediction of his own. He doesn't set a 2-year time frame on it, but he does say that this year, according to the Lord, you will die. Hananiah made a prediction in 2 years' time. The world's going to be rosy red. Nebuchadnezzar's going to be gone. Jeremiah says, within the year, you're going to be dead. Which one was right? Jeremiah was right. His prediction was fulfilled. When Hananiah is dead 2 months later, everyone can see, well, Jeremiah is the true prophet. And yet decisions about who to trust and follow rarely wait 2 months' time. They rarely wait 2 years' time or 70 years' time. It is the people's understanding and attitude toward God and toward truth that makes all the difference, that makes the decision who we will follow. What is our attitude toward God's truth, toward the Word of God? In Jeremiah's day, he's speaking through true prophets such as Jeremiah, not Hananiah. Today, he is speaking to us through his Son, Christ. Christ speaking through the apostles. The writings of the New Testament is where we have the word and the revelation of God today. And what we read in John 17 and verse 17 is, thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. In John 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Let's think about truth for a moment. Let's think about a couple of false characteristics of truth. Oh, it'd be nice if this is so, but these sayings about true just don't always hold true. For instance, truth is always popular and most people love it. Wasn't true in Jeremiah's day. Truth is often the easiest and the most peaceful message. Not in Jeremiah's day. Truth we always want to hear. We welcome the word of truth. Well, not in Jeremiah's day. But genuine characteristics of truth from John 17 and verse 17 or John 8 and verse 32. Look, truth accords with reality. Truth is the way that it is. And that might not always be a convenient thing to hear when someone shares it. The crowd may not desire it at all, and yet truth will continue to be true. Its source is God. That word is truth. God has never said one false thing. God has never said one mistaken thing. God's never said, my bad, I'm going to take that one back. He only and always and ever speaks truth. And because of the ultimate reality of God, there is God, then there is truth. There is truth. Its source is God. Truth is objective. It exists independent of our knowledge or our feelings about it. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, what's that mean? There's truth if you don't know it. It's still true, but you need to know it. It's knowable. Truth is discovered. Truth is learned. Truth is gleaned. Truth would not be invented. And truth is consequential. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, what if you don't know it? Well, what if you reject it? You'll not be free. Truth matters. Truth matters. Who will you follow? And this brings it to us then today, number three, which is to talk about you and the dreamers, which does not sound as much like a 60s doo-wop group. You and the dreamers. Today, some people claim to be prophets, and people follow them. We might think that this whole false prophet thing is just antiquated, something of a pre-modern era when people really were bowing down to graven images. And we think, oh, the whole world is so past that. Well, actually, there's a lot of idolatry that goes on in different religions today in different parts of the world. And not only that, you have people claiming to be prophets. Today, Islam is a religion where 1 billion people on earth confess there's no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. And you get into the religion, get into the Quran, and find out Muhammad is claiming to be a prophet in the biblical line of prophets. Likewise, today, Mormonism, the LDS Church, along with other sects of Mormonism, it's a lot more influential in our nation than Muslims. But again, they understand that their founder, Joseph Smith, was a 19th century American prophet, and he's supposed to be understood as a prophet in the biblical line. I had a fellow share some material with me that is really just striking, and I apologize for you sitting further back, but what this chart is a comparison between Islam and Mormonism. I'm not going to go through all of it, but some of it's pretty interesting as pertains to the prophet, how both religions have a later prophet than Jesus, how both of them have a later revelation in the New Testament, how both of them teach that the Bible's corrupted, how along with that they both claim our revelation is perfect. They both found their message or said the message is contained on tablets. The revelations contain self-serving decrees. The prophet gets called by an angel. With Muhammad, it's Gabriel. With Joseph Smith, it's Moroni. The prophet is supposed to reform corrupted religions. There is an ignorance among these prophets of proof that they're supposed to demonstrate they really are speaking for God. They don't really do that. Great division over the prophet's successor after their deaths. There's other things to talk about as well. But what I'm just getting at is two major, major religions that we have exposure to is based on the idea of somebody saying, I'm a prophet. God speaking to me, I'm the mouthpiece, and you need to follow this message, this revelation. And so we do well to know and to recall that God's word provides tests for prophets. For those who say they are the dreamers, for those who say that they are the prophets and they speak for God, it's one thing to say, it's another thing to demonstrate that this is so. It's true that God used prophets for a time. And so how did he safeguard his people? The ancient Israelites, to trust that this really is a genuine prophet and not some false prophet, not some Hananiah coming along to cause people to believe lies. Well, back in the days of Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, we find there three tests revealed that the children of Israel could always use for anyone claiming to be a prophet. In Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verses 1 and 2, Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verses 1 and 2, Moses had said, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, signs, wonders, miracles. Men that God used to spread his message proved it was God's word by showing God's power. Proof of a supernatural message is supernatural power. Moses himself is an incredible example of this. The closing words of Deuteronomy 34 talk about the signs and wonders, the terrors he performed in Egypt. He was truly God's prophet. I'll give you a second one, though. Someone comes along claiming to be a dreamer, a prophet, God's messenger. We continue reading in Deuteronomy 13, verse 2. And so he's done a sign and it comes to pass. And then we begin to listen to his message. Deuteronomy 13, verse 2. Of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you've not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. In fact, a sentence of death is pronounced upon the false prophet in the days of Israel. He gives, you begin to listen to what he's teaching. And this guy says we're supposed to worship another God? This guy says we've got a whole nother word, a whole nother way, a whole nother revelation. God does not contradict himself. A genuine prophet will not preach things absolutely contrary to what God has already revealed in previous prophets and scripture. That was Jeremiah's point when he says in front of everybody to Hananiah, you know, all the prophets before you and me were saying what I'm saying. You've gone off. You've broken consistency. Seems like you've broken consistency. Number three, 100% accuracy in fulfilling predictive prophecy. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 18, we have this final test mentioned. And there's some overlap in this with Deuteronomy 13. But in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20, but the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When the prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. A lot of times when we think of prophets and prophecy, we think about prediction the most, this fortune telling. The real work of a prophet was forthtelling. To be preaching God's word to those people at that moment. And there's a lot more in prophecy and in the prophets about that. About preaching God's word today for this moment, for this time, than making predictions in the far off. And yet when a prediction is made, it has to come true. It has to come completely true. Again, Hananiah says, well, in 2 years everything's going to be great. Doesn't happen. Jeremiah says you're going to be dead within the year in 2 months. I don't think that's completely coincidental, the 2 years to 2 months. But he's dead. Jeremiah's right. Jeremiah's true. And as God's people, we are charged today. It's not just Israel of old, but we are charged today to test any that would call and claim to be prophets, claim to be dreamers. It's in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 in your New Testament. 1 John 4 and verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. And we may think that there's a, you know, and there may be some really powerful, profound theology being laid down here. But let's just keep it simple. He calls them back to consistency. What were you taught in the beginning? And now are these prophets coming along and denying it, saying different things about Jesus? That's not true. It can't be true. Look at this, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They're of the world. Therefore they speak as of the world. The world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. That's the apostle writing. He who is of God hears John, hears Peter, hears the apostles, hears the word. They have no use for the word. It's a good chance these are false spirits and false prophets. And so we are charged to make the test. Well, it's not just that in this world today there are people claiming to be prophets. I'm going to give you a second example. I think Jeremiah is very timely to us. And that is this. People today claim to have dreams and have revelations. And they guide their lives and they want to guide others by them. In the days of Jeremiah, Judah had all their own dreamers. That's what Ethan read about so well for us in Jeremiah chapter 23 in the scripture reading. We know the pagans, they had their dreamers, 27 verse 9. And this went along with false prophets and false prophecy. Perhaps today there are not people who call themselves prophets. They want to take that title. They want to put that on a business card. That's not them. But they do claim God is leading them with dreams. And God is leading them with voices. And God is leading them with supernatural promptings. And they may not say I'm a prophet. But that's the MO of the prophets. That's what was going on in Jeremiah's day. What do you do with that? Well, just as you use the word of God and test those who outright claim to be prophets, you speak the word of God over their dreams. You learn, as we read Jeremiah 23, verse 28, God's word trumps the dreams of the dreamers. The scripture says, the prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Say your dream. Share your dream. Are you done with your dream? Now let's go to the word of God and speak it faithfully. This was the standard between Jeremiah and the dreamers at that time. Speak God's word. And we are to value the authority, the weight of the word of God over the weight of dreams, over the weight of these dreamers. He goes on. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Well, how is this like wheat and chaff? You know, for some, they go along together, the wheat and chaff. But they're not the same. They must be separated. One has value, one has nourishment. That's the wheat. One is worthless. One is to be burned up, cast aside. That's the chaff. You don't need the chaff. And when we hear stories or read books about dreams of heaven, or Jesus came to me in a vision in the middle of the night, came to me in a dream, I want you to know, my friend, my brother, you have the word of God. You have the Bible. Speak the word of God to that situation. You have the truth, Christian. And God is not shortchanging you, leaving you out in the cold, deceiving you in any way, because you say, oh, I wish I had some crazy dream like that. No. He's not left you out at all. He has given you His Word. And His Word is always true. Jeremiah says, you know, in essence, beware the dreamers. They're often telling people all the stuff that they want to hear, and they're not declaring the truth. If they declared the truth, what are they going to say? Exactly what God's Word already says. We're not getting new from dreams today. And so we need to think about that. And then the third and final one is this. That today, we still deal with these New Testament warnings about false teachers. And false teachers are likened to the false prophets of old. In fact, what did the Lord tell us in Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20? They look like sheep. The wolves look like sheep. Hananiah looked a whole bunch like a true, genuine prophet, didn't he? That's a wolf in sheep's clothing. So what makes all the difference is, again, our attitude, our conviction in desiring God, His Word, His truth. That's what counts. I want to sort of wrap this up by looking with you at 2 Timothy chapter 4, and then this lesson is going to be yours. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2, the minister Timothy is taught, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they... And I don't believe that's talking about the people of the world that never listened to the gospel in the first place. they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. What's Paul say there? Look, if we want dreamers and we want smooth words and we want crazy, radical, sensational visions, we can find them. Somebody's always going to provide that. That's going to be there. There's dreamers. If we want God, there is only one source, and that's God's Word. And it is God's Word that we bring to the dreamers. It is God's Word that we bring to those claiming to be prophets. It is God's Word that we bring to anyone who would stand up to preach, to teach, to exhort in the name of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And we test them. And if they are right by the Scripture, then we are disciples and we want to do what the Scripture says. And if we find that they are dreamers, well then, as Paul said, let God be true, though every man a liar. We're going to stand on God's Word. We're going to stand where Jeremiah stood when Jeremiah faced the dreamers. I thank so much for your good attention tonight. And if you want to put away your Bibles, we're going to have some more song worship. Sing a song in just a moment. What Jeremiah faced and even more so the people around Jeremiah that day at the temple when they saw Jeremiah and Hananiah, what they faced, the dilemma they faced, the choice they had to make, not so different from the choices that you and I make. Who are we going to believe? Who are we going to follow? That's a choice. We need to believe the Word of God. Stand on it and follow that. Hold people accountable to it. Those that claim to be the teachers and the prophets. We can rest assured that God's Word is always true. It's not going to change. And so when we learn about the wonderful invitation of the gospel, it was true 2,000 years ago. It's true today. And how in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." That's true today. You can take that forever. Have you believed in the gospel of Christ? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Have you been obedient to this Word of God? If we can help you to do that in taking the first steps of faith of becoming a Christian, or if we can pray for you, minister to any other spiritual need, we invite you to come forward and make it known now. Together we stand and sing.